My message title today is When Christianity Goes Viral. Wow, you know, I know, I'm playing off the virus a little bit, but like many churches, we are not meeting normally today, and I know there are probably more than a few pastors having church today someplace, quoting Hebrews 10 about us churches that didn't have church today. Hebrews 10 says this, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Now, if you're quoting that verse today, pastor friends, and you are having church, I'm glad you're able to have church, and I'm not going to judge those who do, and I'm not going to judge those who don't have their congregations come in. That's not me at all today. I don't want to do that, and I think anybody who's doing that needs to read Romans 14. You know, some eat meat and some don't eat meat, and those who do eat meat shouldn't judge those who don't eat meat, and those who don't eat meat shouldn't judge those who do eat meat. There's a lot going on right now. So if somebody's inferring that we're forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together by not having live church today and trying to stream, I think they're being a little extreme, honestly. I don't think anybody's being disobedient in any group that decided not to worship together today. And I don't think we're failing because we didn't get to worship together today. I don't feel that way. We're doing our best to stay connected, and that's going to be important over the next few weeks. But even if this goes on for several weeks, the truth is, in a reasonably short period of time, this is going to be over. And that's really good news. In a reasonably short period of time, this is going to be past. And everybody needs to realize that. And somebody says, well, what if it lingers for, you know, months? Well, still, I'm 63 years old. The lingering times, you know, it's not as much to me anymore. I don't think in terms of, you know, a couple of years as being a long time, because it goes by fast for me these days. So, you know, this thing will pass. I do find it a bit amusing that some who are more strict with the scriptures and want to say, well, we have to meet today. We have to have the church doors open. I'm just curious, what do they do with Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 that says we're supposed to meet, or that the early church at least, met daily? I mean, do we tell of our people that we're going to now have the church doors open every day and we have to meet? I think that would be silly. So I don't think too many congregations are demanding that we have to have our doors open. And anybody, of course, who is disposed to possibly being sick, they really should stay at home. They really should not put themselves in a place where they could get themselves sick. And a lot of people are finding this. I saw a woman today on one of the news shows from Ohio who probably, they think, got the coronavirus at a Cavs game. She's 48 years old. She says she didn't have any pre-existing conditions. She got to where she was having a little trouble breathing. So she went to the hospital. They took care of her, were able to send her home fairly quickly, and she's feeling better now. But, you know, you just don't know who could be carrying the virus, and they don't know how she got it. They really don't have a full understanding of that. But us here, many like most of us, this congregation and other congregations across the nation and around the world are not meeting today because of what's going on. Our church leadership, by the way, thought long and hard about this. We really did. We did not want to close our doors. And we tried to think of every reason not to. I even told people if factories can stay open and make widgets, we ought to be able to stay open and make worship. But when it came right down to it, it only made sense that we take this week by week. And for this week, we felt like we did not want to be setting a bad example to the community. The community needs to know that it is time, within reason, to hunker down a little bit and be careful not to spread this thing. So we've been fortunate. We were already doing live streaming, so we have the stuff, and the guys are working on it. And again, we're trying to work with some new equipment that'll be even better next week. And probably next week, the way things are looking, we won't be having church. So that's the reality. This pandemic will pass, though. and we will get together again. And as you've already heard me say, I don't think it'll be long. But in the meantime, this might just be an opportunity hidden from our plain sight. In Acts chapter 8, and if you have something you can, you know, a Bible program on your phone or whatever, you could turn there. I'm going to read from Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 1. And I want to show you something in the scripture, because this isn't the first time churches had a little bit of something that kept them from having services. In Acts chapter 8, it says, "And now Saul was consenting to his death." It's referring to what had just taken place in chapter 7. And in chapter 7, Stephen had been stoned. So now Saul was consenting to his death. "And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." You know, the pain that they were going through in Jerusalem nevertheless caused there to be great joy in the city of Samaria. And Jesus had told his followers that they should stay in Jerusalem and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. They did, and it came, and immediately the church grew. And on the first day of the church, there were 3,000 souls added, it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And from that time, God added to the church daily, it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. So by the time we get to the beginning of Acts chapter 4, the number of men, not counting the wives and their kids and the children, had grown to 5,000, just the number of men, Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. And then in the fifth chapter of Acts, we see that 3 or 4 years have gone by, and there we're being told that there are multitudes, verse 14 of chapter 5, of men and women that are believing, and that Jerusalem is being filled, verse 28, with the doctrine of Christ. So from the beginning of the church until, you know, this point, the church is growing like crazy. And they are experiencing a little resistance from the Jewish leaders, but the last verse of chapter 5 says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." So chapter 6 starts out saying that the number of disciples was multiplying. Oops, that's interesting, because now we've gone from adding to the church daily to multiplying. Anybody who knows math knows that multiplication is a whole lot bigger than addition. And so this church is just growing like crazy. There's a lot of people coming to God. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." So even the people who had been like resisting Christianity were coming to the faith. Jerusalem was just exploding. It was an amazing, amazing time. And some of the crowd that had been resisting, you know, were now assisting. You know, it was all working together. But then this Stephen thing happened. Wow. You know, Stephen, he's brought in. They're asking him some questions about what he believes. He starts to preach a message to the Jewish leadership. So he's brought in before the council, and he preaches a strong message to them and pushes them to the breaking point. And suddenly, Stephen's the first martyr. And suddenly, persecution breaks out on the church. And by this time, the church had been growing, by most estimates, for about 5 years. And everything had been going, with the exception of a few little spots, pretty good. I have heard some suggest that the church wasn't supposed to have limited itself to Jerusalem, and that the church had been a little lax in following Jesus' command back in chapter 1. Let me read you the rest of what I didn't read you from chapter 1. Verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. I really don't know if the church was being lax or, you know, they were holding back in that command that Jesus has given them to go into Judea and Samaria and to the rest of the earth. It was 5 years. Should they have been doing that sooner? I don't know. Was this just the time that God chose? Maybe. So, you know, they had filled Jerusalem. Either way, their daily meetings at the temple were suddenly stopped and the church was suddenly scattered. You know, it isn't like we don't want to be meeting here today as a congregation. I'm sure that if I had said we were going to have church, a lot of people would have showed up. But I'm not sure that would have been very good for us or our community. And so the church in Acts was scattered. They weren't having regular services, but this scattering turned into a fulfillment of Jesus' words. They went out and they spread the gospel. They preached the gospel everywhere. In these days, a lot of different churches have talked more and more, and I'm loving to hear it, about us getting outside the four walls. I think that's a really exciting thing, us getting outside the four walls. They're talking about getting out of the church building and getting out of the community. And for better or worse, it's happening. I mean, we don't have a choice right now. We're not going to be inside the four walls. We're going to be outside the four walls. It's maybe a time, though, when God is up to something good. What if this is the time for the gospel to go viral? Wow. Now that is a crazy idea. What if this is the time for the gospel to go viral? What if this is the time for Christianity to go viral? Are you few in this room and you who are listening and you who will listen via YouTube and other things later, are you ready to preach the gospel everywhere? A lot of people will hear me say, preach the gospel, and they'll think of what I'm doing right now. They'll think, oh, you mean you want us to go out on the street and stand up and do this? Well, first of all, I'm not sure that you should go out on the street because there aren't a lot of people out there right now. And second of all, that's not what they're wanting from us right now. I'm not saying we have to obey them to the letter, but I'm just saying that this idea of preaching might be something different anyway. Some people don't think that they can preach at all. I think there's probably a few people who don't think that I can preach at all, and that's fine. You know, some people want to hear, they want somebody to, you know, yeah, I'm telling you, ha, and I'm going to do this, ha, and I'm going to do that, ha, and they think that's preaching, and then you do the chicken walk, and it's all good. I don't think that's really what was being recommended here. And in fact, the word in the original language is the same word that we use when we say evangelize. Euangelio means to share the good news. It's just simply communicating good news. Boy, does our world need news right now or what? This is a time when our world could use some good news. So, while these people went out, and it says they preached the gospel everywhere, I don't think they stood on soapboxes. I don't think they stood on stumps. I don't think they set up tent meetings. I don't think they tried to draw large crowds all the time. Some of them did, obviously. The Apostle Paul, who was the bad guy here as Saul, you know, initially he was fighting the church. Then he became a proclaimer of the word, and he was a gifted orator, and he went out and he spoke to as many people as he could, and that was his call on his life. But the good news is we're just supposed to share the good news. And if we share good news, people will listen to all the good news we have. So sometimes we just want to tell people they're going to be okay. We just want to encourage them, and they will feel better just hearing somebody being positive. One of the things that we can do, by the way, is tell people what God's done for us. And I'm sure there are going to be some real trials during this time. There are going to be some people who are going to be out of jobs. There are going to be some people who are scrambling to pay bills. There are going to be some things that are going to be awkward about this time. But there are also going to be some crazy good testimonies that can come out of what takes place in this period of time that we are in our country and around the world. So we can tell people of his goodness and his love. We can encourage them in a very positive way. We can tell them that he has a plan for their lives. Oh, remember last week? If you didn't get last week's message, it's up on YouTube. It's called Promises. And God has promises for us. And we need to lean into those promises right now like never before. I can't remember a time, honestly. I'm 63 years old. I can't remember a time in my life in which the world needed to hear the good news more than right now. That's just the reality. The world needs it desperately, and we are the ones who have it. So this is a great time to check on our neighbors, especially those who are a little older. I've seen a lot of videos of people knocking on windows and waving at each other and asking if they need anything. You know, there's ways that we can communicate. We are fortunate because if this kind of a plague had hit the world, you know, and it did hit the world in the past. There were plagues like this. You couldn't get near people via social media. You couldn't get to people with your phone. You couldn't get to people in a safe way. We can get to people right now. We can do FaceTime. We can talk to them face to face on a little gizmo that we carry around with us. This is a great time. So this is the time where the fearful need encouraged, and those that are struggling need someone to tell them it's going to be all right. And I think that we can get through this, especially if we help one another. And if we're waiting on somebody in Washington to do something, I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I think we can start to do something right now. And in our church, we always talk about, you know, be the one. Well, Bethel, be the one. Go out and do what you can right now with those who are around you. Check on family members, check on friends, and check on people that maybe, you know, if there's an old man in your neighborhood and he's been telling you to stay off his lawn, maybe it's time to go see how he's doing, because maybe he just needs to be encouraged right now. Last year, this church did a really good job of loving its family, the church family. We went through a really tough time. We lost some senior members of our church who had been, you know, pillars in our church. It was really a crazy year for us. This year, the assignment's different. That's just the way it's going to work. The assignment's different. This year, we need to put in into practice some of the same things we did last year, but it's probably going to be on people around us, and it's probably not going to be where we're gathered together and weeping together and hugging each other, but it's going to be us communicating with each other, and it's a big deal. There are already people in our church family, and we're not a huge church. There are already people who have lost jobs. I know a couple of people who have already applied for unemployment. I know one person was trying to get it, and it took them forever. And another person who talked to me about it couldn't get through. And it's nuts. I know that there are going to be, according to the news, literally, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that are going to be applying for unemployment in the next few days. And it's going to be crazy. The unemployment numbers are going to go up. We were at 3.5, and now we're going to be, some people say it could get as bad as 20% unemployment. It's crazy. And, you know, this is going to be tough. I've seen unemployment that was double digit before, but it was way back in the 70s. I've seen gas lines before. Oddly enough, it looks like we're going to have plenty of gas, and it's going to be cheap. So, you know, count your blessings. But we're going to have to be aware of people in our church family and people in our neighborhoods that are going through stuff. They need our support and love right now, and they may need something more a little bit later. But right now is the time to start to connect and give people support and love and encouragement. I talked to a lot of our church members this week. I made phone calls. I left messages. I've had people get back to me. I know one family that a few weeks ago, the mom had to quit working because of a health issue. And now the dad is completely out of work. They got nothing. And it's going to be really tricky for them. So, you know, I'm just going to try to make myself available and let people know. And I may hear of something that can help them, and somebody else may hear of something that can help them. And if we all work together, I'm sure we can encourage one another a lot. And people who are going through stuff right now need to be reminded that God's got their back. God's got this. And it's going to be okay. We talked about, again, some of those promises last week. The world will be looking for hope. The world is already looking for hope. And I believe that Christianity has more of it than anybody. And I think that's a big deal. Christianity has more of it than anyone. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." We sing a song here, Jesus Christ, our living hope. I know they sing it in other churches. We have him, and he is with us, and he is going out into a hopeless world with us because Jesus is our living hope. So I know what the answer is to the virus. It's something that needs to go viral. It's Jesus Christ, our living hope. And I think the world is ready to be filled with hope that comes from something more than what we can do as human beings. They need something greater to look to. I don't believe that God brought about the persecution that I talked about in the book of Acts. I don't believe that was a God idea. But when it happened, God was there and he used it. And the people that went out then were used by God to help more people in this world. I don't believe that this virus is brought about by God to get the people of the church outside the four walls. But we're outside the four walls. Let's use it. Let's take advantage of it. In all things, God works to the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. One of the promises I shared last week. I don't believe that God wants to see something bad happen so something good can happen. But I believe when something bad happens, God will show up. So he's ready to empower us. And I believe that if we walk in his grace and his love and his Holy Spirit's power, that we can ruin the devil's plot against a world that God loves and that God wants to redeem. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. God hasn't given up on this world yet. I started this message in Hebrews chapter 10, and now I want to go back to it. I'm going to read the passage again because the emphasis at the beginning of the message was on one part. Now I want to put an emphasis on the other part. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is so easy to focus on, we should be gathering together. We ought to be able to have church. How dare they tell us we can't have church? Well, they didn't tell us we couldn't have church, by the way. They actually, from the last I know, said that they wanted to have, you know, meetings of 50 or less, but they also said that churches were exempt from it. And so from the last I know, we actually weren't illegal to meet if we had wanted to meet today. But nevertheless, we chose to do what we did as an example to all, that we want to be careful and we want to be conscious of what's going on. But to focus on the second half of the passage that I read and our assembling together doesn't make sense to me. Let's focus on the first half. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. They were confessing hope, unwavering hope. And why did they have hope? Because he who promised is faithful. Right there in that line. It's so beautiful. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 23 of chapter 10. And then it goes on to say that they were also considering one another. They were thinking of their fellow believers. It was time to stir up one another to good works. If I can do anything with Bethel Church today, and I know I got a handful of people listening to me here, I hope there's at least a few of you listening there. I hope people will share this message and people can catch it later when we put it up to YouTube and get an edited version. But if anything can happen today, I hope we'll be considerate of one another, that we'll think about one another, that we'll do those things that we can do to stay connected to one another while we can't come in here and hug one another like we like to do. It's time to stir each other up. As I already said, People in our church have lost jobs. Some will be unsure how to navigate this time, and everything is up in the air. Everything is disputed. You may know of a job where they need someone. By the way, I heard on the news, I don't know if it's true of our local one, but I heard on the news that they need 10,000 people to deliver pizzas at Domino's. That's what they said. And I know there are a lot of businesses who are cranking up aspects of their business that they've never done before. And there are people that are going to have to do things. Lord knows, if some trees get blown over, we get a few storms. Jeremiah, who's right here today, played bass for us. He's going to have to get out there and get some things done. And if we were to have a storm right now, he might need more help, not less. So, you know, things are going to be like that. There are going to be some things that are going to start to get busy because people have to do other things. My wife works in the healthcare industry. It's a little crazy right now. And healthcare workers are suddenly in even higher demand. They already were. It's going to be like that. There are going to be some jobs that are going to need more help and not less. I heard the other day also that grocery workers are in high demand. They need people to stock shelves. And I saw signs out right here in town with people asking, can you come and help us stock shelves? And they were paying pretty decent. I'm just saying. So there might be a lot of people who are looking for jobs, but there might be a lot of people who are looking for workers. Some of it might only be temporary. But I also know people who are laid off temporarily, and then they're going to be hired back. So, you know, when businesses come back, they'll be able to go back to their old jobs. This is just going to be a time when we have to be smart. And if we care about each other, especially those of us who love God and love each other and are part of the church, we can take care of each other. I know there are some who might not have got to listen to this message today. Some of you who are good at technology, maybe before next week you can say hi to somebody you know and stand far enough away that you don't share anything, but near enough that you can see what they're doing wrong so that they can. I sent out a mass text yesterday. Sorry, Bethel Church. I sent out a mass text, and I've got this thing that I have to turn off before I send it out, and I didn't turn it off. I have to turn off group texting so that if you respond to my text, you don't respond to everybody. I failed. Sorry. But nobody responded to it, thank goodness. And yay God. And, you know, so I'll try to be more careful. Technology can be tricky, but if we work together, I think we can help each other. We can help other people connect to social media. So if somebody wants to join us next week, hopefully things will be a little smoother next week. We're going to work on it this week and we'll get better. And if we have to go more than a couple of weeks, okay, we'll figure it out. I'm hoping, personally, that we'll be back on Palm Sunday. I know a lot of pastors who are praying to that end, and at least by Easter. So we don't know where we're going to be, but I know a lot of people are trying to move heaven and earth, you know, to keep this thing from spreading right now, and I think that's smart. Nevertheless, we can do all we can to help one another. And if we are connecting via social media, let's be really encouraging. People need to laugh, and I've seen a lot of funny things posted. Don't get mad if we're joking about the virus, because laughter is good like a medicine. And if you see somebody who's posting something negative, all right, don't jump on them with both feet. I may have done that, so forgive me, Lord. Forgive me who I jumped on. But if you're posting something negative, don't do that. Post positive things and encourage people all you can. Don't get caught up in speculations about what the government's going to do and who's going to, you know, the end of the world is coming. It's not. I don't believe that this is the end of the world right now. I believe there's a great revival that's about to take place, in fact, because I believe God wants to see souls saved and then return. This is our time to shine, and this is our time to show his love and to show faith with our good works, as it says in James chapter 2 and verse 18. This is our time to be the one who God uses to make a difference for those around us. Amen? Amen. So, as we close, we made an hour out of today's message and service. We didn't have time to do some of the things we normally do, and we kept our worship team thing short. And that wasn't working very good from what I understand, but I just want to say to anybody who's watching, let me encourage you. God wants to do something great through you. And this might be the start of a great revival. There have been other times of revival that came out of chaos. And oftentimes the chaos can cause God to do something great, to make himself known in the earth. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. This is a glorious day, even though it's a crazy day and a lot of things are happening. We pray for families that have lost loved ones, and we pray that they will be comforted. We pray for those who are sick, and we ask you to bring healing. We pray for those who are preparing all sorts of treatments and trying to get a plan through to stop this virus and give people the right kind of shots and all the things that need to take place. We pray for our government to be wise, and we pray that they will not try to do what they can't do, but they will do what they can do well. We just pray, God, that each of us as individuals will step up and be the one that you've called us to be and do the things that you've called us to do. So we thank you for what you're doing in the community right now. We thank you for what you're doing in the Bethel community right now. And we pray that we will be ready, willing, and able to step up and do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.